HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
This is Dr. Margaret McCraw. You're listening to the show Tuned Into Love with HealthyLife.net. This is the show where we talk about the harmonic matching process, the four-step process to align your thoughts, your emotions, and your belief systems with all of your desires. And today we have Michael Cherokee with us. Michael, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Michael. Let me give a little intro, and then I'm looking forward to our conversation today. Michael Cherokee is an engineer and a technology consultant with a passion for physics. He has been a consultant to companies across the world. He became a believer in success principles at a very early age, but he never found a satisfactory explanation of why they worked until he made the connection while studying physics. Starting with the basics, his book, The Physics of Success, examines behavior and consciousness in the context of theories of modern physics. The result is startling insight into how you interact with everything around you. This insight will change how you view the world, resulting in a behavior that will change your world from a place you happen to be into a world created by you. Michael's book is called The Physics of Success. Again, thank you, Michael. I'm looking forward to talking with you a little bit. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Now, you're living in, I think you told me, Atlanta?
Yeah, just north of Atlanta in a suburb called, or a small town called Alpharetta.
Okay. All right. Is that where you're from?
Actually, I'm from Alaska.
Oh, so that's goodness.
An interesting switch there. I grew up in Alaska.
Yeah, the people I know from Alaska are people who visit for a while and then they might stay and love it. And but I've never known anybody born in Alaska. That's pretty cool. What part of Alaska?
Fairbanks. Fairbanks is my hometown.
Oh yeah, beautiful, huh? Your family's still there? Your family of origin?
No, actually, most everybody's left now. Everybody's left in my family. Mm. Either my parents retired, my father's passed away, my brother and sister live in Seattle, and another family members live in Los Angeles. Mm. So we're kind of scattered around now.
Yeah, you're all the way over here. Well, we're glad to have you on the East Coast. I'm on the East Coast too, so. Well, let's talk a bit about your book. Now, I'm very interested in knowing what inspired this book because, you know, again, as you had mentioned to me and as I addressed in your bio, that the studying of physics really helped you to understand the principles. And I know from writing my own books that, you know, when you write from your heart and you feel something passionate, that there's a story behind that, a story that inspired the book. So let's talk about that.
Sure. Originally, you said in the bio, the intro, that I believed in this from an early age, and I did. I had gone out and read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and I thought, oh, that seems really cool, and I actually tried it, and then I forgot about it. And then a few years later, of course, being young and stupid at the time, what I wanted, you know, given anything in the universe, right, mm-hmm. I wanted a car.
Mm-hmm.
So. And that's, that's the subtitle of the book, is getting the car you want from the universe you live in. It actually refers to that initial experience I had.
Oh, wow.
But I turned around and I looked, and that very car, which was a car I could not afford at that young age, was sitting in my driveway, exactly as I'd described it, exactly as I'd imagined it. And it actually spooked me, it was like, there was no time. It was just, it went poof. It was like, oh, my gosh. Like I said, I had forgotten about those, having gone to read that book. So the next thing I did was read a whole bunch of books on success and all this other stuff, and I tried all sorts of things. Meantime, I'm also going into college, and I'm learning about engineering and studying math and all sorts of things. And at that point, it sort of became like believing in Santa Claus because in some ways, a lot of the books even had magic in the title. I even have a chapter on magic in my book, but the book is actually based on science.
Mm-hmm.
And I refer to magic as something that we don't understand, but have even though it has a technical explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a comment about our mobile phones. They're very much like magic, right? None of us understand how they work.
Right.
So
I don't. Let's say I don't know. I know I don't. It just works.
Yeah, there's not a single human being on the planet that understands everything that goes into one of those phones. There's
right.
a lot of people involved. So anyway, so, you know, it was, like I said, like believing in Santa Claus, and it concerned me that I didn't understand how it worked, and in a way I sort of didn't believe how it worked, or sort of, like, you know, it was kind of wishy-washy. And I believe a lot of people, because so many people buy these success books, and I think they work. I say that straight up front.
Right.
I believe success principles work. But for so many people, they don't seem to work, or they don't work as well or as consistently as they do for other people.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's another thing. It's like, what's going on there? What exactly is the problem? And what happened to me was my life had ups and downs that, oddly enough, were really related to how much I used those success principles. But what led right up to the book was, it's about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago. You know, we had the dot-com bust. Well, I got caught up in that. And so I lost my job. I got another job. I lost that job. Then I was contracting, going here and there and everywhere. I was financially in extreme distress. I mean, six figures in debt. I was a single parent. I was divorced. I had the kids. And, you know, all these things were piling up on me. And then I had health problems on top of all that, and I was fat. Okay, so it was just really a mess.
Mm.
And one day, I literally came to my senses, and I remember it distinctly, and I said out loud, Mike, you don't need to do this. You know better. And I went back and borrowed, I literally borrowed some notebook paper out of my son's notebook, school notebook, and I sat down and started writing out what was wrong, what needed to be fixed, and how I was going to fix it, and how I wanted my life to be. And I spent actually about 3 days doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these were things I knew how to do, and I honestly, it's like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, number one. But number two, small things started happening. You know, for instance, one of the things I needed to fix was I didn't have an automobile. Hard to have a job if you don't have a car, because my car blew up, right? Anyway.
Right.
So, no kidding, I ran into a guy who used to work for me at a grocery store, and I was riding my bicycle to the store, and he was asking me about riding the bicycle, and I explained it, and the guy gave me a car.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and now, it wasn't any great car, you know, but it got me, from point A to point B. So at the time, that was my dream car, is just getting from point A to point B.
Right.
But it was things like that that all came about. And so, you know, I was real happy that all this had happened. All these things came true. I found a wonderful woman who is my wife now. My kids are doing great. I got rid of the debt. I ended up getting a much better car, thank you. Live in a nice home. You know, all the things that I wrote down came true. And that's all wonderful, but the part that was bothering me is I still didn't know why.
Right.
And so, meantime, like you said, I love physics, and I study physics. I buy physics books, and I took a class on physics. You can do that these days.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I just finished one up this summer. And the interest, so I was actually thinking about this, and I had two insights about 6 months apart, and I thought, gee, I wonder if this really has something to do with it. Physicists actually talk about things like, where do we come from? What happens when we die? What is consciousness? They almost sound like a bunch of Eastern mystics talking to one another, because all of those things have a lot to do with physics. It's the study of the universe, the study of the way things are.
Yes, yes.
And so I was actually pondering some of those questions and reading about string theory at the time. I won't get into string theory, don't worry.
No, I know a little bit about it, but it's
right.
complicated, sure.
Yeah, but anyway, it brings up some really interesting points about our universe, and I thought, well, if that's what's happening in the universe, I wonder if that's what's happening in our heads, in our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started talking to people about it. The physicist guys were all excited about it. They say, yeah, you get it now, and I'm like, great, great. But they didn't want to talk about success principles, in other words, how the application is in your life. So I started talking to, I guess, my more normal friends, and they were like, you know, have another margarita, Mike.
mm-hmm.
You start talking about physics and everybody sort of shuts down. So there was no way to have a really satisfying conversation about it, So I started writing it down. I first started blogging, then I started writing notes, and then it eventually grew into a book. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through and rewritten the book now, and it's getting ready for publication now. And it's actually Book of the Month for Boomer Times Magazine down in Miami, so I'm real happy
Wonderful.
About that.
Wonderful, yeah. So when do you expect it, or when can our listener or our listeners get access to your book?
Actually, the original book, The Physics of Success, is available now, and it has been on Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
and also on my website, thephysicsofsuccess.com.
But the rewriting. Go ahead.
The new book. Yeah, the new book should be, I'm going to give it a couple weeks before it's in print, maybe 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then a month or so before the electronic edition, and then I'll have an audio book after that.
Okay. Did you make many changes in the book since the original?
Yes, I rewrote it primarily because the first book I kind of wrote out of self-defense,
mm-hmm.
so that we could have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the principles and everything are exactly the same. But what I've done is spent some time with others in rewriting the book so it reads and flows better. And I've also updated some of the physics, because the physics I put in the original Physics of Success, at the time I wrote it, were kind of cutting edge. Now it's pretty much well accepted. And so I was able to put a little more information in there, you know, kind of push the envelope a little further as well.
Okay. Now, when you say physics of success, are there certain key points that we're going to talk about success principles in just a little bit? Are there any key points you want to bring up that we would help be helpful for us to understand as we go forward in this conversation?
Sure. Yeah, and I use terms, and a lot of people use these terms, and I'm just going to explain them real quickly, mm-hmm. because more than 100 years ago, we've all heard of Einstein, and we've proven that this amazing man was absolutely right in his theories and his theory of relativity. And what a lot of people don't understand, they may have learned but don't think about it, is Einstein actually, in his two theories of relativity, there were two, had proposed that there were five dimensions, not three, but five. One of those dimensions, the fourth dimension, was time. And when we talk about four dimensions, we talk about space-time. And we've all seen the TV show Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Space-time comes from Einstein. So to him, time is just another dimension. And so when I talk about dimensions, a lot of people go, ooh, you know, because people think like, oh, there's a dimension over here where the leprechauns live, and there's a dimension over there where the fairies live. But a dimension is not a place. It's more like a direction. So if I say I have a box that's 3 inches by 4 inches by 5 inches, it's 3 inches in that direction, 4 inches in that direction, and 5 inches in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that. So time is just another direction. So if we're meeting at a specific coffee shop for coffee, we know where the spatial dimensions are because maybe it's on the corner of Elm and Main Street, and we know the coffee shop's on the ground, so those are three-dimensional coordinates. But then we say, oh, and it's 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So we say, it's 23 hours from now.
Uh-huh.
So that's just a measurement along a different direction. So that's what Einstein's talking about when he says time is the fourth dimension. And then the fifth dimension is the curvature in space-time, which is gravity. So moving forward, what has happened is, in physics we've learned that there's not five dimensions. There's more like 10, 11, or maybe even as many as 26.
Hmm.
So that's where life gets real interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what's really interesting about it is we are moving, and this is the basis behind the physics of success, is we're moving through the universe in what we call a space-time continuum. We've all heard that phrase too, but this is what it means. We're literally moving. We're moving through time. Where we've been is fixed. In other words, if you look back, if you think of the continuum as a tunnel, we could look back in the tunnel and we've been there. We've been there, it's past, it's fixed. Those are the places we've been. But moving forward, there's an infinite number of places we can go. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so the idea behind success principles is that we fix in our mind a goal or a destination, so to speak, where there's a place in the universe that, you know, there's an infinite number of possibilities out there.
Right.
But there's a place in the universe where what we want, the world we want, exists, and the idea is to get ourselves to that as we travel through the universe. So, you know, I think I've mentioned to you in our discussions, it's like driving a car. If you want to stay in your lane, you look out the windshield. If you look to the left, you're going to drift off to the left. If you look out the passenger window, you're going to drift over to the passenger side of the road and hit the ditch.
Right.
And it's kind of that same thing. We go where we focus. And so the reason all these success principles work is because it focuses our consciousness at a specific destination in the future. So it's kind of interesting from that.
That makes sense. Yes, it does. Now, do you steer clear of talking about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, or do you strictly work with, in your way of addressing this and focusing, do you strictly work with the conscious mind?
I believe it's our conscious mind. The subconscious, and there's a lot of people talk about the subconscious mind, and I spend some time in the book on awareness and consciousness, and I also talk about subconscious as well, and also universal consciousness and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with subconscious mind is we don't know what it is. I mean, we don't know that any such thing exists. And psychologists and psychiatrists don't refer to the subconscious mind as being some sort of a subterranean mind that can cause us to do things. There's an unconscious mind, which is the part of our brain that causes our heart to beat, and we breathe, and we digest our food, and all those things.
Right.
That's also known as our autonomous nervous system. But that's part of, you know, that's an unconscious mind, so to speak.
Right.
And that's what we know about in science. There is no basis in science for subconscious mind. It was originally invented to explain why hypnosis worked.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But that's not, you know, there's no place in the head that's a subconscious mind, so to speak.
Right.
And to me, it's our consciousness, and that's a big part of the physics of success, is the fact that it's our consciousness as human beings that sets us apart from animals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our consciousness that sets, not our intelligence. There's a difference between intelligence and consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Absolutely, right.
There is that consciousness that is the big difference, and so to me, that's the great big thing that we have as human beings. Our gift is our consciousness, and I believe that's what is guiding ourselves.
Right.
And it also takes into account the concept that I mentioned already of focus. We focus on a goal, we get to the goal. And that the focus is a function of our consciousness.
I think what you're saying, really, what I particularly like about it is that it's something that people have control over. You know, it's just we have control over that, and we can take charge of our life as a result. We are going to have to take a quick break, but I'll be back, and we're going to talk about this more. This is Dr. Margaret McCraw with Tune Into Love, and today we're talking with Michael Cherokee about his book, The Physics of Success. We'll be back in a moment.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
We're back. This is Dr. Margaret McCraw. You're listening to Tune Into Love. And today we're talking to Michael Cherokee about his wonderful book, The Physics of Success. Michael, let's just take a moment, and I want to give our listeners your website. It's www.thephysicsofsuccess.com, and they can buy your book, I assume, on Amazon or at any major bookstore, correct?
That's correct. And if they buy it from the website, there's a link to books there. I have a couple books. And that one, you get an autographed copy.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's great. Okay. Is there anything else that they would see on your website that you'd like to point out to them?
There's things to come. In other words, with the new book, we're going to have an audio book, and we're going to have the electronic version as well. They can sign up for any of these updates as well. There's just a link on the page, and promise not to spam anybody. I'm really very sensitive about that myself, so I want to hear good things from me.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. Well, we've been talking about, you know, a bit about how you were inspired to write this book and how powerful success principles are, and that you're dealing with your consciousness and you're dealing with things that you have control over. And that is very, very, very important, because it's so necessary that we do take charge of our life, that we don't let ourselves get to the end of the road, the end of the journey, and then start questioning why we didn't do things or how come my life turned out this way, as though we did not have control, because we do. I know, Michael, one of the things I'll share with you is in my early 20s, I worked in a nursing home. I worked with patients who were going to nursing homes. And part of what I remember, and a lesson well learned for me, was many of those individuals had so many questions about why they didn't do certain things or their regrets about their life. And I, you know, my role at that age, in that particular healthcare facility, was to help them move through that experience and to find peace in their life. And I remember, you know, thinking as I was talking to them and as I was working with them, what could I learn from this? And it was, take charge of my life. Don't wait till, you know, I'm gone, till I'm close to being gone, to start saying, why didn't I do something, or focusing on that and living a life of regret. And I think it is very, very important that we give these things attention as we go along. And it's never too late. It's only too late if you think it's too late. And that's what I had to really work with these individuals, is you can shift a lot of things if you shift your consciousness and reframe it. So let's talk a little bit about how you define success.
Sure. And that's one thing I've given a lot of thought to, so that's an excellent question. And to me, it's very fundamental. If you are, excuse me, happy with your situation, you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can apply that definition to almost anything. And I want to rush in to say, there's a difference between being happy and being content.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned how I had sat down at the table and written out basically my future, because it all came true. And actually on the website, you'll find a link to predicting the future. Mm-hmm. Because if you set goals and achieve them, that's essentially what you did, is predicted your own future. So it's very fascinating from that standpoint.
So you have a link on your website, like something they can fill out, or like a little experiment?
They can just read that article right there. Yeah.
Oh, good.
There's a lot of good information on that website.
Oh, good.
But I'm sitting there at the table, and I immediately felt better. I felt much happier. So I still didn't have my bills paid. I still didn't have a car. I still, you know, my situation was exactly the same as it was before, but I was much happier. So, you know, I had begun to turn my life around, and even that change in attitude that you can get from taking charge of your own life and sitting down and making a plan, that's tremendously important. So I was not very content. You know, I was not content, but I was much happier. So success is actually your level of personal happiness. And of course, as I said, you can be, you know, still be ambitious. You can still want things to be, you know, better and constantly strive. And I think that's extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my definition of success. Are you happy?
Mm-hmm. And I think there are many people who might say they're content, but they're not necessarily able to relate to that term happy.
Yes.
It's another much higher level.
Yeah, to me, content is, okay, I got a good job, and I'm just going to hang out now. I'm going to continue to go on. You know, things are okay right now. And things are okay right now until all of a sudden the company's in trouble. Something out of your control is in trouble. There's a natural disaster. Who knows what it is? I'm not trying to be negative here, but stuff happens, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't got a plan, if you haven't got a direction, you're kind of at the mercy of all these things. So I think being content can be a very dangerous... if I start to get content, I get very worried.
Mm-hmm. Well, people become complacent.
Yeah.
And don't necessarily want to take a risk, where they see any change as a risk, whether it is or not, they perceive it as something risky because it might lower them from contentment to a lower status rather than taking the high road and going higher in their emotional well-being.
Yeah, so. But, you know, tying into what you said early on in this segment, you know, people rarely regret doing something.
Right.
They regret not doing something.
Absolutely.
And that's very important.
That is what I learned. That's exactly right, Michael. That's exactly what I experienced with the individuals I spoke to. And it wasn't that they did something, even if it, in their perception, failed, let's say, setting up a business or doing this or that. There was no regret for that. It was for the regret was all about what they did not do.
Right.
And, that's a lot to learn from that. So let's get into success principles, and maybe you can give us a summary, and then maybe we could talk about this with more depth.
Sure. There's many things that are involved in succeeding at any particular thing, but I think the core things, the things that actually guide your vision, in other words, what you focus your consciousness on, I boil it all down to a pen, a picture, and a calendar. The pen, and I'm going to say this at the top and I'll say it at the end, the most important single thing that any person can do is when they have an idea or a plan is to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then the picture is the vision that we're talking about, what you're going to write down. And then what's equally as important, if you recall my discussion about time, it's time. Because when you're describing something, you're describing a physical place in the universe, and time is one of the things we use to describe that physical place.
Okay.
So those are the three components.
We're going to come back to this. I'm sorry to have to break off here, but we will take a quick segment break, Michael, and then I want to come back and have you elaborate a little bit more and compare that to a vision board and how that's different. So stay tuned for more Tune Into Love. We're here with Michael Cherokee, and we're talking about his book, The Physics of Success.
Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
And this is Dr. Margaret McCall. You're listening to Tune Into Love. Today we're talking to Michael Cherokee about his book and our topic today, The Physics of Success. So, Michael, we were talking about what you mean by success principles, and I'll just give a quick summary as I was wrapping up. You were saying there's three key things to keep in mind when you talk about success principles, a pen, a picture, and a calendar, writing it down, visualizing it in your mind, correct? Or is that drawing and actually having a real-life picture outside the mind? Clarify that for me.
Sure. And the picture is actually the most important part and the most complicated part. Because people, and you mentioned vision boards in the last segment, and some, you know, vision boards work for some people, and I think they're a wonderful thing. I think they're a great tool. Certainly having, you know, my cousin Steve is an example of that. He owns a resort down in St. Croix, and of course, we're from South Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
My family is, my parents were born there, and that's where Steve is from. And it's like, Steve, how did you get here? And his wife rolls his eyes, and he was like, well, I came here on a cruise, and I thought it was the most wonderful place in the world, and I wanted to live here. And he had pictures up everywhere of St. Croix and Turtle Beach and all these different things. And the next time he went there, of course, he found the opportunity, and one thing led to the other, and now he's running this resort down there. Mm-hmm. So it was really an amazing use of what you might call a vision board at the time.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely a useful tool, but the picture is so much more than that. So if you think in terms of our space-time continuum again, sort of this tunnel that we drive through in the universe, and it's defined by all the things we see and hear and our world around us, when we do that, we're trying to get not to a particular place and stop. We want to get to a particular place and live,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of aiming at a moving target. So So it's really important to be, number one, very explicit and very clear about what you want. Somebody said he imagined a Cadillac in his driveway. He eventually went broke, lost his home, and a couple years later he drove by his house and there was a Cadillac parked in the driveway. And that's a true story. And it's like, that's not what I meant. I mentioned in the book when I was a kid I wanted to fly for a living, and then I find that I did get a pilot's license. You know, everybody in Alaska just about has a pilot's license. But I ended up with 1 million frequent flyer miles flying in the back of the plane. That's not what I had in mind as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So kind of fuzzy, you have to be very clear about what you want.
Right.
And you also have to put yourself, I mean, personalize it. You want a certain car, you want a certain, you know, what's it going to be if you find your perfect mate, or if you, you know, your relationship becomes the relationship of your dreams, even if it isn't at the moment. You know, what's that going to be like? How does that affect not only you, but your family, the people around you, your work, all that stuff? Mm-hmm. So that's all part of the picture. And perhaps the most important thing that many people forget is what you're going to give up in order to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's maybe it's just the car payment. Maybe it's you're going to mow the lawn twice as often. Who knows? It may not even be related to whatever it is you're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
But something's got to give. I mean, there, you know, the universal law is there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
And that's true in physics as well as in our lives. So there's going to be something that needs to be given up. And as far as I'm concerned, that's part of the picture as well. So that picture is kind of, you know, a clearly thought out thing, has to be personalized. You have to think about what your life is going to be after you achieve it. And then what you're going to give up to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing of the three, you know, I mentioned again, I'll mention it again. You know, I mentioned before, I'll mention again, write it down as clearly and explicitly as you can. And then set a date on it. Is this going to happen in 6 months? Is it going to be a year? Is this where I'm going to retire? Could be 15 years from now. And, of course, you can have several of these you know, these pictures set up and written down simultaneously. There's no rule against that.
You know, I find the day thing kind of tricky with people, my work with people and in my own life. Sometimes it's a date, if it's something that I can kind of let go of and release a bit, then the date is great. But if it's something that I'm, this is where I think it becomes a little tricky. If a person's waiting for something, or their peace of mind or their happiness is on hold, that they're not going to be happy till that relationship comes. They're not going to be happy till that job comes. They're not going to be happy till the car comes. Then I find that that is self-sabotage, and that they set themselves up because their consciousness doesn't seem to be in the right place to receive. Have you found that in your work? Because that is something that I found is just absolutely crucial, is that there has to be a readiness to receive, and if you can want it, and you can want it like gangbusters, you can really, really want, I mean, the passion for wanting it is important, seems to have things, you know, brings things around to actually happening. But it's when people, you know, take for instance, the people who, you know, really want to get married. And oftentimes when I've interviewed, I've written on relationships and couples, and the relationships where people found like their ideal mate came when they decided to let go of it, when they decided to be happy, regardless of whether they were married or not, regardless of whether that person came into their life or not. They decided to be happy. They decided to create the consciousness of happiness and to live that consciousness of happiness. And then the person showed up when they actually felt they didn't have to have that person anymore. The studies that have been done about couples, so years and years of studies have been done for couples wanting to get pregnant, and couples who it took 10 years or longer before they actually got pregnant, where they had given up. And then they did the research and showed that when the couples relaxed about it, and the reason they relaxed is because they made the decision to adopt. And through the adoption process, they felt fulfilled. They were no longer feeling that lack of happiness from not having a baby because they had a baby. And then they get pregnant. So, you know, I want to talk about if you've noticed that, if you've had anything like that in your experience. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, in the date is, again, a direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's a dimension, it's a measurement along a direction, and the idea is to focus your concentration.
Yeah.
I've had people ask me, and in particular, one fellow was like, "Can I help him secure a relationship with a specific woman?" And I said, "Whoa, I'm not sure about that." The reason why is, and I hate to say you can't do something, because theoretically we can do anything, right? But the problem with trying to deal with another person or affect another person's action is we have no control over another person's actions. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is that issue, and what I told him to focus on is, you know, again, like you said, just be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware of the fact that you are going to have the woman of your dreams in your life, and of course that can work for women as well. There's no gender specific here. But the idea is if you get the woman you want, if it happens to be that woman, great. If it's not, who cares? You got the relationship of your dreams there. So
right,
you know,
right.
It's in a way, it's a matter of what you're focusing on.
That makes sense. Yes.
Yep.
We're going to have to take a quick break. So stay tuned for Tune Into Love. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
This is Dr. Margaret McCraw. We are wrapping up our last segment with Michael Cherokee today, and we're talking about his wonderful book, The Physics of Success. And Michael, I'd like to take our listeners to your website, www.thephysicsofsuccess.com, where you can certainly purchase his book there. And I understand this updated book will be ready soon as well, the updated book of The Physics of Success. And you can get a lot of other wonderful information on Michael's website. So in the time we have left with you today, I do want to talk about what are some of the physics that you discuss in the book and how you apply them to success.
Sure. Now, I've spoken about some of it already, so I spend a good deal of time with Einstein.
Right.
On the multidimensional aspect of that, and also a little bit about string theory, partly to open your mind a little bit as to what, you know, how huge the universe is on one side and how small it is and tiny on the other side. So those are really important things
mm-hmm.
to understand. So I talk about those physics a little bit. But I think one of the things that's most important with regards to success principles, it goes all the way back to Newton, which is inertia or momentum. And keep in mind, through this space-time continuum that we talked about, we're moving. And I think a lot of people don't take that into account when they try to do something with regards to success principles. Now, I mentioned I was in a really bad place, and I turned my life around, and it sounds magical, and it seems magical at this point, but it didn't happen. I didn't turn on a dime because I was headed the wrong direction. I had to completely turn myself around. I had to fix my weight. I had to fix my health. I had to fix my finances. I had to fix my job. I needed a car. There's so much I needed to fix. Well, you know, I got that car. I mentioned that. Well, you know, I lost 45 pounds. I lost the weight. My health got better. Lots of things happened. But it took a period of a few years.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the dangers of success principles, and I think it's one of the things you may have brought up in the last segment, is people become discouraged because they try this and it doesn't seem to work right away.
Right.
And the reason why is because, you know, you were headed in a completely different direction. Now you're trying to turn the ship, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And it involves momentum and inertia. You can't change on a dime. We're moving very, very fast. We have a lot of inertia. So I think that's probably the biggest part of physics that applies directly to the person. And again, I'm going to mention one more time about writing it down, and I'm going to tell everybody the big secret as to why that's important.
Yeah.
Everybody believes in dreams, you know, and that's wonderful to have dreams. I have dreams every night. I can't remember what I dreamt last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the funny things about dreams. You wake up, if you don't write it down, you forget it. There's a physiological, not a physical reason, but your brain, the way your brain is hooked up. Your brain is hooked up so the part of your brain that does all this wonderful imagining and creative thinking is not hooked up to your memory. And what happens is, if you actually take a pen in your hand and write it down on a piece of paper, you have that tactile sense and you're reading it, and if you can read it out loud, even better. Your memory is hooked up to your senses, your eyes, your ears, your touch. And so we remember those things. And that's why writing things down is so important, because you're taking that dream and you're putting it into your conscious memory so that you have it there at your disposal. And that's why writing it down is so important.
That's a very good tip, because I think a lot of people, for some reason, are a little resistant to write it down. And so writing it down, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I would imagine that's why drawing a picture or creating a picture, an actual physical picture, or putting something in front of you is also probably valuable too.
Right. And that's why vision boards are such a good tool, is because it has that visual impact. What the vision board lacks is it doesn't tell you what you're giving up to get there. It doesn't tell you what you're going to do when you get there, and it doesn't tell, you know, and it doesn't say when. So that's, you know, if you can surround your vision board with those concepts as well, it becomes a much more effective tool.
And I think, and I just want to say this, when I hear the word giving up, I think it can sound negative. It doesn't have to be negative. It just means things are changing. So things are going to shift for you. Things are going to be different. You know, you're going to be in a different space. So yes, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to become popular and visible and, you know, the number one singer or whatever, then you're not going to walk down the street and not be noticed. You know. So
I heard one person say, "Would you like some new clothes?" He said, "Go throw your old clothes out."
As
soon as you have that empty closet there, you'll fill it up with new clothes, believe me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of a wonderful way to think about that. So what are, we have just a few minutes left. What are some takeaways that I can, that, you know, anybody can start using right now in this moment?
Now, right now, write it down. That's the biggest thing. Be very clear. Put yourself in the picture. Visualize it completely and figure out when you want this to happen. If you want a new job, do you want a new job next week or in next year? You know, figure, you know. And again, account for the fact that there is momentum, and account for the fact that there is, it is going to take a little bit of time. Sometimes it happens faster than you expect, sometimes slower.
Right, right. But be able to, you know, try to relax and know it's coming. Listen, it's been wonderful having you here with us, Michael. Again, Michael Cherokee, his book, The Physics of Success, and his website, www.thephysicsofsuccess.com. And, Michael, I'll be in touch with you, I'm sure. Thank you so much for being on our show today. Wonderful information, wonderful tips.
Thank you. I loved it.
Okay. We'll be in touch. Okay. Bye-bye, Michael. And I'll be back with the rest of my listeners to talk with them a little bit about my training.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
All right. We've had a wonderful show today talking about the physics of success, and that everything that Michael really talked about is definitely woven into the harmonic matching process. You know, we talk about the different things that you need to do, that's important to do to align your consciousness with your desires. Many of you have contacted me, and we talk about your interest in helping people, working with people. Many of you have been working with and using these principles in your own life. You've had success, and now you'd like to help other people be successful and teach them some of the things that you've been learning. If you feel that helping people is something that you do naturally, and if you find that friends and family members and even colleagues come to you for advice, then you may want to consider the profession of life coaching. Life coaching has become very, very big in the United States, in Canada, in the UK, and other parts of the world. And we have a training institute that is credentialed by the Centers for Credentialing and Education, and we're credentialed by holistic groups as well. We have 5 accrediting credentialing boards at Behavioral Health and Leadership Dynamics, and we work with and I teach this 4-step harmonic matching process. So if you think you might want to consider life coaching and health and wellness practitioner training as part of the move, the step in the direction for your new career, then give us a call at area code 410-929-9302. Again, area code 410-929-9302. And you can ask to speak with me, Dr. Margaret McCraw. I look forward to talking with you when you call. Take care, and I'll see you next month.